Gracious God, we do come before you this morning in a world that just appears to have gone mad. But you are not surprised, and you are not caught unaware. Though we are, you never are. Lord, help us to strengthen who we are in you. As Gary said, may we hear your word and then check it out. Check it out for ourselves. Make it part of who we are. Dig in. Learn more. Know more. More importantly, come closer to you. Let your Holy Spirit work in us in ever-increasing ways, that we would be salt and light in a world that so desperately needs it. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to teach us this morning, to illuminate your word, illuminate our minds, illuminate our hearts, and embolden us to hear and to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. He kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service had ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." It's an incredible story, and I'm sure you've heard it before, most of you. And maybe today we'll hear some things from this differently than we might have heard them before. Remember, it had been some 400 years since anyone had heard directly from God. 400 years since the last prophet had spoken. So we're going to look at verses 5 through 10, and they will kind of set up today's message. As we open with verse 5, we are somewhere 6 to 8 years BC. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus, and this would be some 9 months, of course, before his birth, a year and 3 months before Jesus was born. So if this were today, then Jesus would be born in February of 2017. just to give us a little perspective. Or if that freaks you out, then if this coming December 25th is Jesus' birthday, then these events would have taken place in September of 2014. So, you know, we kind of run these things together through Advent, but these were things that took place over a long period of time. We see Zechariah going to the temple. There were 24 divisions. It mentions he was a division of Abijah. There were more priests than there were priestly jobs to do in the temple at this time. And so they cast lots, because once you got to go, you only got to go once in a lifetime. So they cast lots, which is kind of like they drew straws to see who got to go. Some other important perspective from that very first verse: in the day, there's Herod the king and a priest, one of many, named Zechariah. In the world's economy, who's important? The king would be important. Herod means nothing. In God's economy, this old man, Zechariah, is extraordinarily important. It says he and his wife Elizabeth, who was also from the priestly line, she was one of the daughters of Aaron, said they walked blamelessly. They were righteous before God. They walked blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. They were not sinless, but they were righteous people before God. And we'll see as we work our way through the Gospel of Luke that many people were trying to be righteous in front of the other people. They were trying to be righteous for the Pharisees. They're trying to do what the organization said to do. But it says that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous before God. It also tells us that they were advanced in years, which is a really nice way of saying they were really, really old. The same phrase is used with Abraham and Sarah. And Paul wrote about Abraham that when he found out about Isaac being born, that he was as good as dead. Paul wrote it, not me. Do you feel too old? You're not too old if God's in the picture. Next year we'll hear about a young teenage girl and her important role in our faith. If you think you're too young, you're not if God's in the picture. So in verses 8 through 10, we see Zechariah going to the temple to serve. This could have been in the morning or in the evening. There was a burning of incense and sacrifices at both times. I tend to think this was the morning one because of the events to come. The morning was when they would sacrifice that spotless lamb. And there was a crowd of faithful people outside. And what were they doing? They were praying. So we'll pick up here at verse 11. And there's five things that I hope you'll see out of today's message, and I'll go ahead and give you that list. One is that God's presence should shake us. Number two, your prayers are heard and God always responds. Number three, that God keeps his promises. Number four is that only greatness in God's eyes is true greatness. And number five, the pathway to that greatness goes through repentance. So we see here, again, moving through verse 11, that Zechariah had gone in to the altar of incense. The altar of incense, if you were to look at the structure of the temple, it was right before the veil. And behind the veil was the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat, the place where God came to meet man. So this was as close as anyone could ever get, except for the high priest. This is as close as anyone, any man could ever get to the presence of God. And as he stands there, what happens? This angel appears. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. And Gary posed the question earlier, why are we scared of angels? You know, why does that happen? But we see it all through Scripture. When an angel shows up, they always follow by saying, fear not. Well, I think he was scared for some of the typical reasons that any of us would be scared. When someone suddenly appears next to you that you weren't expecting, most of us jump. especially if it's someplace where there's not supposed to be anybody else. So there's some normal reasons why he would have been afraid, but I think it's much deeper than that. I think angels cause fear because they come from the presence of a holy God. And we have inside us a sinful nature. And it's like one thing that repels another. Maybe deep inside we think of that angel with the flaming sword keeping us away from the tree of life. We can remember, I refer to it often, Isaiah, when he had the vision. He seen God upon the throne. His response was one of fear. He was coming apart. And yet, as we have this intense fear, the angels always say the same thing. Fear not. You see, we have this sin nature that makes us afraid of holy beings. It makes us afraid to be in there because sin brings what? Death. But God is sending his messengers to come and bring us home. When God sends his angels, it's to do something that's part of our deliverance. This thing we've been talking about all year, it's to do something, to tell us something, to bring us under the atoning work of Christ on the cross. So we do not have to remain afraid. But still, the presence of holiness should stir up within us, awaken something long asleep in us that changes who we are. We should shake in the presence of God. He loves us and he wants to bring us home, but we should remember who he is. The presence of God should shake us. The second thing is that our prayers are heard and God responds. In verse 13, the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." Now, I don't know how many times and for how long that Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed for a child. We would know just by knowing people of that time that they would have wanted children. But we also know that the angel says his response is that they're going to have a child. We don't know how long or how long it had been since they had just given up. Because I'm guessing they wouldn't still, at their advanced age, have been praying for a child. Like Abraham and Sarah before them, they were now old, but their prayers were heard and now answered. Beloved, your prayers are heard too. I want you to think what that means. Yeah, we have a general idea that we pray and somehow God hears, but you know, use your imagination a little bit here. Don't place it over Scripture, but use your imagination a little bit. This angel, before he came to be in the temple, had been in the presence of God. And God had heard Zechariah and Elizabeth crying out to him and had transferred this information to Gabriel, whether Gabriel heard it when they were praying or whether God told him. But there's heavenly conversations about the concerns of your heart. Did you ever think about that? There are conversations taking place in heaven about the things that hurt you, the things that scare you, the things that make you anxious, the people you love. There are heavenly conversations about these things. And God always responds. God does not always say yes, as he did here. But he always gives the answer that is best for you. Sometimes it may be a surprise, and I'm sure it was for Zechariah and Elizabeth. You've heard it before that God's answer may be yes, it may be no, it may be wait. And we see a great example of people having to wait here. But whatever God's answer is, it will be the very best thing that can happen. But what I want you to know, is that when you cry out, or when you whisper, when you plead, when you praise, that God in heaven hears your words. And he cares about your words. And he responds. Which brings us to the third point. God keeps his promises. And this angel is here to show this. And okay, I'm not sure, you know, we're at different levels of familiarity with the Bible, and if you were maybe to sit in a conversation with folks that were outside of a body of believers, they would say, oh, sure, angels, right? It's the Bible, there's angels in there's angels everywhere. There were ignorant, superstitious people that thought there was a demon behind every bush and an angel around every corner, right? But if you were to take from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke and start working backwards, you would get all the way back to the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel before you would find an angel appearing again. Something special is about to take place. We know that because this angel, a rare event in Scripture, this angel showed up. It may appear more common because a lot of the stories we tell, we are the Christmas stories that have a lot of angels in them, but in fact, it was a rare event. And this angel shows up and says, "You shall call this child John." And this is interesting. When we name things, we show authority over them. When we name our children, we have authority over our children. When God gave Adam dominion over the planet, what did he have him do? He had him name the animals because he was to rule over them. So we name our children to show that God-given authority. But there were exceptions. "You shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant. And you shall call his name John, for he shall be great before the Lord. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." God keeps his promises. And this angel shows up to say, not only are you going to have a child, but you're going to have a child that is going to be, from the very moment of conception, under my authority, says God. And by the way, this is not just any angel. This is Gabriel, and Gabriel is the same one that was there in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. And guess what Gabriel's message for Daniel was? "Daniel, your prayers have been answered." Daniel was praying for the release of his people from captivity, and God was saying, "Your prayers are going to be answered." And not only that, God is going to send his son into this world to save your people. This was Gabriel's message for Daniel. This is Gabriel's message for Zechariah. This special announcement about the plan of God for the redemption of his people. His promise about to be fulfilled. All of that stuff that we read about from Genesis through Malachi about God promising a Savior is about to come to pass. God keeps his promises. Fourth point is this, that only greatness in God's eyes is true greatness. Verse 15, Gabriel said, "He will be great before the Lord." This is similar to what it says about Zechariah and Elizabeth, that they were righteous before the Lord. They were righteous where it counted. John the Baptist would be great before the Lord. If you remember what you might know about John the Baptist, he dressed funny. He ate weird food. He made people mad. He called out the establishment. He ended up in jail and he ended up beheaded. But what did Jesus say about John? Of all the men ever born of women, there are none greater. Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest man that ever lived. He was great. He had the power and spirit of Elijah. This is the other part of the promise that Gabriel's bringing forward, that he would have the power and spirit of Elijah. Kind of a side note on that, if you remember the story of Elijah and Elisha, Elijah's work was to bring people back to a belief and an understanding and a love and an obedience to the one true God. He called for repentance. This is what Elijah's work was. And who came behind him? Elisha, under whom many, many more miracles were done than under Elijah. And what did Elisha ask for? A double portion of the Spirit. So, in a way, Elijah could be seen as a forerunner of John the Baptist and Elisha, a forerunner of Christ. So John the Baptist is going to be great in the eyes of God. The world calls movie stars and singers, football players great. But only greatness in God's eyes is true greatness. I hope our youth are hearing this after our conversation on Thursday night about how we look to the world and how we look to God. It's so easy to get caught up in the things that the world say are great. If you ask who great people are, you'll get a wide variety of answers. Some people are greatly impressed by money and possessions, others by titles. But remember that Jesus, our Savior, said that this guy that lived in the desert and ate bugs and ended up with his head cut off was the greatest man who ever lived. The only true greatness is greatness in God's eyes. And that brings us to our final point, that the pathway to that kind of greatness goes right through repentance. Gabriel tells Zechariah that John's message is going to be this in verses 16 and 17. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord people prepared. And do you remember what John's first message was? John went out and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is how he prepared the way for the Lord, by turning people's eyes back to the one true God. And that can only happen through repentance. Repentance means to turn away from what we've been doing, to turn away from our sin. Without repentance, we can't see our need for grace. We can't see the good work of grace without repentance. Pastor Ligon Duncan said this: "Repentance is an indication of the work of God's Spirit in us to show us what we really are, to show us how we need God's grace. Until we see our sin, we're not ready to see the marvelous grace of our Savior." Zechariah himself had a sin that needed to be forgiven. This man who walked in the statutes and commandments of God, this righteous man before God, sinned before God. He sinned with disbelief. Verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Next week, we're going to hear about a teenage girl who gets approached by Gabriel. And she asked a question as well. And I want you to know, I want everyone to know, it is okay to ask questions about things that are in the Bible. It's okay to ask questions of God. Mary asked questions for clarification and for understanding, not to reflect disbelief. Zechariah was showing disbelief. When God sends an angel to you to give you an order or to give you news, I think the response is, yes, sir. But Zechariah says, how shall I know this? And how about the reproach in verse 19? What's your worry? What's your complaint? What are you doubting about? Mr. I'm too old. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to bring you this message. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. And for his sin, there was a consequence. He lost his voice for 9 months. And I've heard too often jokes about this, about 9 months of spouses losing their voice. And before we jump too quickly into that, I want to think about what this would be like. There's inconvenience on both sides, right? Inconvenience for Zechariah and inconvenience for any of the people he was trying to communicate with. But think about this. If I saw an angel and he gave me a message, I would be dying to tell you. As it is now, I can hardly stand it on Sunday morning because I also have God's word to deliver to you. And I can just about barely stand to get in here and get started on Sunday mornings. Can you imagine if an angel showed up to give you a message? What did the shepherds do? They rejoiced. Then they went and told everyone that they knew. They were bursting with praise. Zechariah didn't just lose his voice. He lost the ability to praise the living God. With the greatest news of his life. There are consequences, beloved, to our sins. Zechariah's mouth was silenced, and that had to be tremendously difficult. You have not had an angel show up to share with you this morning, but we are hearing directly from the Word of God. We are hearing directly from the Word of God. Not me here. Directly from the Word of God. Do we have anything that we need to repent of this morning? Is there some sin that we need to turn from so that we can see, truly see, the amazing grace of God? Because until we can turn over that sin, we cannot truly receive the grace that he wants to give us. Zechariah had to repent. John the Baptist started his ministry teaching repentance so that those hearing could receive Jesus. My prayer is that God's Holy Spirit will do a work of repentance in our hearts. That we, each of us, and that we, as a church, would be truly great. Not great because we have a big arena, not great because we have thousands of people, but great in the only way that counts, great in the eyes of God. Salt and light in the world. Sharing the name, the love, the peace, the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen.